Hi, I'm Paul Pachter, President and CEO of Long Island Cares and the Harry Chapin Regional Food Bank, and welcome back to another episode of Breaking Bread, our program right here on YouTube, where we bring you into the workings of the food bank, but also introduce you to important decision makers here on Long Island. And today's program is no different. I'm really happy to welcome Dan Lloyd, the President of Minority Millennials. Dan, thanks for coming and breaking bread with us.
Absolutely, Paul. I'm grateful to be here. I'm excited.
Great to see you. So, let's talk. What's Minority Millennials? Why did you get this organization together? And what are you looking to accomplish? Because I was fascinated to read some of the stuff you're sending out.
I love it. We're a fairly new organization, I would say. We started in 2017. We didn't actually become a 501c3 until 2018. The initial reason why me and my partner, Andrew, AODG, started Minority Millennials was to bridge the gap between policy and culture. So I'm big into music and big into basketball. We run one of the biggest basketball tournaments on Long Island. It's called Bold and Mac Basketball. It's about 60 teams. At the time, it was about 30. And we have about 1,000 people that attend the park every weekend throughout the summer. This is in 2017. We did a meet the candidates at the end of the tournament, and we had like five people show up. And this was really important at the time. It was for the Suffolk County District Attorney, Suffolk County Sheriff, Errol Toulon, Tim Sini, all these individuals. And it really bothered us that we had all these individuals that are the most impacted, to us anyway, by political will and are not showing up when it really counts. And it comes cliche to say your vote matters, and we're not explaining why the vote matters. So
Absolutely.
That was why we wanted to create this organization, was to bridge the gap between policy and culture. And I've, since our mission is now to help young people of color access jobs, build wealth, and become civically engaged, which took us 5 years to figure out. But it's because of all the different things that we encountered as value adds to our demographic.
And who are you looking to engage in the work that you're doing? And then explain to me and the viewers what you actually provide, other than mobilizing young people to get involved, and certainly in the dialogue.
Well, when we started, it was millennials. So I was 30. We're getting older.
You're not a millennial anymore.
We're always going to sound young, but we're getting older. So like, the oldest millennial now is 42. So for clarification, millennials are 26 to 42.
Okay.
Gen Z is about 12 to 25. So our focus initially was 18 to 35 black and brown. So that's African American, Hispanic, Muslim American, Asian American. But now it's really Gen Z. We really focus on a lot of the political work. And so that is ages 14 to about 30. And what we do is threefold. So the first is civic education. So we host monthly civic educational workshops talking about political power, civic identity. Obviously, in our day and age, there's a big focus on individualism. And history teaches us that the strongest societies work together. It's a collective shared consciousness. And we're trying to build that on Long Island and across the state to help empower majority minority communities with the next generation. The second tier of our ecosystem is workforce development. This came out of us doing a lot of events, and there was twofold interest. One was companies, so public and private companies were looking to diversify their workforce. So they would sponsor our events, and then say, hey, is there any young talent that wants to get into our company? We're looking to expand. And then one of the biggest issues was, I want to advance in my career, or I need to get entry into a new industry. So we kind of became a natural conduit with workforce development. So we do a lot of social media recruitment for offshore wind, for a lot of the big projects that are coming to Long Island. And the third is economic development. So it's civic education, workforce development, economic development. So we do a lot of MWBE certification, education about the procurement process, how to actually get money and build revenue for your business once you get certified, what that means, and then financial literacy and property ownership. So
all things that minorities on Long Island, people of color on Long Island, as you mentioned, are in need of. Because for too long, my opinion only, we don't pay enough attention, number one, to people of color in this region, and we don't pay enough attention to young people in this region.
Absolutely.
Our politics for years has been void of any young people serving in office. Although there are a couple of examples, Josh Lafazan, Tom DiNapoli, you know, 40 years ago, 50 mm-hmm. years ago. Is Minority Millennials a membership organization? How do people find you and get involved?
Yeah, we don't charge right now. So the membership mm-hmm. is basically filling out like a landing page application, and then you become kind of acclimated to our newsletter, our events, mm-hmm. and just the different educational things that we offer. Because I wear a lot of hats on Long Island, I have been blessed to have a lot of information about what's going on. Mm-hmm. So I do bring that into our membership. And as well as our partners. So again, like with a lot of the industries that are coming to this area, we can provide that insight to young people before the general population even mm-hmm. knows, which was helps us capture that equity that you just mentioned. So one instance is with this, you know, and it could be potentially different opinions on it, but the Sands Project in Nassau County is a $1 billion project, and mm-hmm. we're working with them to make sure that young people of color understand what the procurement opportunities are, but also the potential jobs and careers in that industry. So,
well, you know, according to Las Vegas Sands, as you know, the jobs that they're proposing to create mm-hmm. surrounding the property at the Nassau Hub, including hopefully the casino, they're talking about $70,000 jobs. Yeah. $70,000 jobs on Long Island for a young couple or a, you know, single person, that's a significant salary. You're able to survive. I'm not saying you can thrive on 70,000 in this region, but mm-hmm. you can survive. So, you know, getting involved with Las Vegas Sands, getting involved with the offshore wind farms, these are the new industries that are coming to the region. And certainly, you know, in places like the Hopog Industrial Park, now the Innovation Park, mm-hmm. you know, there's dozens and dozens, hundreds of corporations here, and they're always hiring. Let's talk a little bit about the part of your work that focuses on civil engagement, mm-hmm. civic engagement. What are you looking at right now? We've got a presidential election coming up in 2024, but before that, we have a local election here on Long Island this year in 2023. Are you looking to mobilize, register new voters, get them educated on the issues? Tell me what your plan is.
Yeah, I think, you know, to be quite honest with you, we're always focused on the concept of power. You know, people sometimes don't like that word because it mm-hmm. could come off as negative or as where you feel like it's somebody taking advantage of another individual. But if regardless if you believe it or not, it's happening. And a lot of young voters sometimes say, I don't need to vote, my vote doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But then you look at some of the issues, even on the Supreme Court in the past couple of months, yeah. that literally came from appointed or elected positions in mm-hmm. the past 6 years. So understanding how power works, understanding how on the local level, your ability to use your voice and your vote to shift political will could dramatically change not only your personal life, but mm-hmm. your community and your family and everything that you're looking to do both personally and professionally. So when we talk about power, we talk about selfishness, that could be construed, but we think it's a way to really engage a generation to move society forward because a lot of things are changing. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the upcoming election, but there's also things like artificial intelligence, technology, sure. that are gonna really, really change the concept of democracy, the concept of how we elect people, how we get our information. We have so much access to information that actually a lot of young people are confused. They don't really know what to do because there's so many options. So really helping them navigate this concept of civic identity. Mm-hmm. Who you are, what are you good at, what's your purpose? You know, what do you really truly believe in? What are your values and morals? That's something that can at times be lost in the conversation. So really kind of putting all that together to create a truly, truly powerful mm-hmm. individual. Because we're going to need strong leaders in the next couple years.
Yes, we are. Yeah. We don't have enough strong leaders, and we don't have enough young strong leaders. You know, if you look at the composition of our regional legislature or the state legislature, there's not enough young people. How are you finding your message with Minority Millennials? Is it resonating, and how?
Well, that's the thing. It always depends on who you're talking to. So I'm 37. Mm-hmm. I feel like my message resonates with my counterparts, but I did start to quickly realize when I was talking to 16-year-olds and whatnot, I didn't really always grasps their language. Mm-hmm. And so I really believe speaking the language of who you're talking to. So now we have a Gen Z coordinator.
Oh, wonderful.
That is runs all of our Gen Z work, and mm-hmm. she's 17 years old, is a rising senior in Baldwin High School.
Excellent.
So I'm not trying to transfer my interests, my thought process into a 17-year-old. Mm-hmm. I'd rather just work with somebody that can do that. And then we talk between ourselves to make sure that we're actually communicating what's the goal and what's our mission and how to really get young people to get involved. I will say, though, that in the past election, young people did get involved.
Yes,
and,
they
and
did.
So there is a hunger yep. there after the summer of 2020. Mm-hmm. They saw the power that they had in even kind of shifting public safety and how that was implemented into society. So it's really just continuing to keep the emotion. That's mm-hmm. one thing that we're noticing, is that without the emotion attached to the civic engagement, there can mm-hmm. be a drop-off. So we're just trying to make sure that we focus on that.
You know, there are many examples of young people between the ages of, let's say, 17 and 35, or we'll go up another 2 years just because of you, mm-hmm. where young people have become engaged and they have made a difference. When I was 17 years old and going to high school in Brooklyn, the important issue for us in 1970, 1969 was the Vietnam War.
Mm.
So you fast forward 50 years down the pike, young people were behind the March for Our Lives movement.
Mm-hmm.
They've been an integral part of women's health, reproductive health, being out there. They are now out on the front lines of issues concerning education, the banning of books, how to teach African American history.
Yeah.
I mean, we're living in some strange times right now, much more strange than we were living, you know, 60 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, a lot of things are getting out of control in America. And that's why I think it's so important mm-hmm. for young people to get involved, to have their voices heard, and to set the agenda.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I'm not a young guy, but I do know in my heart of hearts that my generation in many ways have failed young people. And in particular, they've failed young people of color because we sit back and we watch things evolve and we don't talk, you know. So to bring voice to young people now, in my opinion, is critical for the future of our region, for the future of our country.
Yep.
So in your meetings, you have a board of directors
yes.
of the organization.
Yep.
And who's on the board? I'm curious.
Yeah, it's very small for many reasons. So it's just myself. And then we have a treasurer and a secretary. So,
okay.
It's Leah Jackson, who's actually the attorney for Frederick Brewington.
Mm-hmm. I know Fred Brewington very well.
Very well, yeah.
Great
he's
guy.
A legend, living legend. And Leela Bao is our secretary. Speaking of which, we are going to be expanding our board. So now we're looking for millennial leadership, Gen Z leadership to join
Wonderful.
Our board. But we've kept it small for a reason, because we felt like our ecosystem was very unique. I'll give you an example. When mm-hmm. we first started, everyone said, just focus on one thing. But we couldn't, because you can't talk about one thing without the other. We
sure.
do think it's integrated. We have an incredible senior advisory board, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dave Colon is a senior advisor. He's running for Suffolk
mm-hmm.
County Executive.
Suffolk County Exec, right.
Nancy Englehart, who is...
know her well, too.
Exactly. I'm going to forget a couple of names, but Jackie Gordon ran for Congress.
Oh,
he's
sure,
on
yeah.
our senior advisory
mm-hmm.
board.
Okay.
Patrick Halpin, youngest mm-hmm. Suffolk County Executive ever,
yep.
is on our senior advisory board. Derek Peterson, CEO of Solder Technologies.
He's you got all the good people.
We got some good people. So,
Definitely.
You know, you can't buy wisdom, so to mm-hmm. say. So, you know, you really want to make sure that you have the generations that have done this to guide you through circumstances and potential things. So,
What would be your plan for 2024 and the congressional races and the mm-hmm. presidential race? We sort of have an idea of how those things are going to shape up. We know what's coming down the pike. You know, for the past three election cycles, we've heard that this is the most important election of our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now here we are again, the most important election of our lifetime, and so important for young people to get out there. Because as you said, in 2022 and in 2020, young people did make a difference.
Absolutely.
They really did.
Yep.
I mean, you got guys, what's his name, Maxwell Frost.
yeah.
from Florida, who's okay. sitting in Congress right now, 25 years old, mm-hmm. and propelled himself to a seat in Congress because of March for Our Lives.
Absolutely.
And the fact that his governor in the state of Florida was not really taking these guys seriously.
Yeah. So there's a hunger there.
Yeah.
There's a hunger there. For us, you know, I probably should have mentioned this in the beginning. Millennials and Gen Z combined are the largest now generation in America.
That's right.
As well as the largest workforce
mm-hmm.
in America. And actually, for the first time in human history, is the most diverse mm-hmm. ever. It's just naturally what's happening because of the melting pot that is here in America. So one of the things that we're going to be doing is we are launching a 501c4. It's called Majority Minority of America, mm-hmm. MOA. As a C3, you know this, you really can't put financial backing behind a candidate.
Nope.
You can't even support a candidate, so mm-hmm. to say. So with the C4, we're going to use our C3 as an educational model
mm-hmm.
and then transfer that into a C4 to be able to potentially support candidates that reflect the...
So that'll operate as a PAC?
The PAC is a little different. PAC okay. would be strategically just for financial support. The C4, we can utilize funding to mobilize voters behind a specific candidate that, mm-hmm. that is aligned with the interests of the majority minority. So that's really our focus for 2024, and also to kind of talk about the sense of urgency. What's really different, again, I mentioned, is what's happening with technology. And I like to keep saying that, because the mm-hmm. other hat I wear is I'm the program director for Accelerate Long Island. So we work with all the research institutions across Long Island. And there is a massive, massive transfer of skills with artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. And it's only happening in the past few months because of tools like OpenAI.
And your generation seems to be the only generation really talking intelligently about AI when people in Congress are sitting trying to wonder what it is.
Exactly. And it can really disrupt mm-hmm. our flow of skills. You know, and all these generations have been going to college, and they may not even, it's already bad, but in the next 5 years, $100,000 is not even going to get you $40,000 in value. So really talking about these issues and having people like Maxwell Frost that can stand and be bold mm-hmm. And at the same time understand the need for generational wisdom. So we're not saying it's just young people, but you know, being able to bring that mm-hmm. mix to the decisions, the table.
It can, you know, it at times sort of you wonder if the rest of the world is out there listening to the wisdom that young people can share with them. Usually older folks, maybe me included, maybe not, you don't think you can learn anything from your children. You can't learn anything from young people. We know it all, but that's not the way it is. I've got so much more that I want to talk to you about, and I'm going to definitely bring you back, I hope, and you'll accept the invitation, I hope, so we can talk more. I think what you've started on Long Island is you've lit a spark, and people are paying attention to it. And I think, you know, it's important for people to pay attention. Whatever Long Island Cares can do to help you, to support your work, we would certainly want to do it, because I think minority millennials, young people in general, need to know a little bit more about poverty and hunger on Long Island. We don't see it every day, or we don't really are aware of it, but we've got a lot of work to do. Dan Lloyd, what a pleasure.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
I look forward to seeing
you
again.
And you got minority millennials perfect each time.
There you go. Like what you see, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. We upload new episodes of Breaking Bread quite often, as well as our podcast, Breaking Bread. So if you like what you see, come join us. Until next time, please go out there and take care of each other and do something kind. This is Paul Pachter, President and CEO of Long Island Cares. We'll see you again as we break bread.